A few weeks ago in Joshua chapter 1, we heard the word of the Lord to Joshua when the Lord said, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore lead this people on into the promised land." It was God's plan that Joshua would rise up and be the leader for the children of Israel. One of the things I like about Joshua is that he was a man of vision. And secondly, I like about Joshua the fact that he was an obedient man. When God spoke, he began to make action plans and he began to move, doing exactly what God had called him to do. And by the way, friend, if God speaks to your heart today, don't sit on it a while, but be willing to do what God wants you to do. And so Joshua sends spies into the land, and specifically to the city of Jericho. Joshua had led the people to the shores of the Jordan. Now they were just a few miles from this formidable city of Jericho. Back in the 1800s, some British explorers went to do excavation work at this particular site. And even these hundreds and thousands of years later, they found in the ruins walls that were 30 feet tall, and they found also these walls to be 12 feet wide. As the children of Israel looked up at this giant city, no doubt they wondered, how in the world will we have victory over such a place? It reminds me of the story of a little boy whose grandmother came to visit. The little boy said, "Oh, grandmother, I am so glad that you are here. Now maybe Dad can do some of those tricks he's been promising us." The grandmother said, "Well, what tricks is he talking about?" The little boy said, "I heard him tell Mommy that he would climb the walls if you came to visit." Now, I don't think Joshua was going to be able to just climb these walls. He was going to have God's power in order to see the victory. How many of you have a challenge in your life today that would require God's power for victory? That's what Joshua was facing, a giant wall that would require the power of God for victory. And we see in the passage before us today, not only how a great city fell, but listen, we're going to see how God touched the heart of one woman and changed her life. We're going to see that in the middle of a big, giant, bustling city, God loved every inhabitant, and God was willing to save whoever turned to Him, including an harlot by the name of Rahab. Let's notice this morning as we get right into this in your outline, the reputation of Rahab. The reputation of Rahab. Boy, you don't have to read long in chapter 2, verse 1, to see her reputation. The Bible says they went and came into an harlot's house. We see Rahab's reputation was that of a woman who had lived a wicked life. Some interpretations of this word mean one who had a guest house, but others obviously speak to the modern day rendering, and I believe that to be the case even here, a woman of iniquity. She was a woman of iniquity. Now, lest we judge her too hard, all of us, according to the Bible, are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But this was a woman of iniquity, a woman of immorality. Psalm 90 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Listen here this morning, God sees even the secret sins of man. God knows that we are separated by sin from Him. Isaiah 59:2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." You see, the Lord knows the ways of man, and He knew the ways of Rahab, and He knew that she was a woman of iniquity. And we also see her reputation was a reputation of idolatry. She was a woman of iniquity living in a land of idolatry. You see, the Canaanites were an idolatrous people. They did not worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They worshiped after idols on the shelf. They worshiped after pictures, and they worshiped the gods of the land, which were made of the hands of men. That is why God said to Moses in Numbers 33:51, "When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given it you, the land, to possess it. You see, in this land, there were pictures, and even then, in a crude form, many of these pictures were wicked. They were sensual. They were abominable. Many of them were made to the gods that they worshiped. In this land, there were stone gods. The people would bow down. They would bring sacrifice. They would burn incense to them. And God says, when you go into this land and you claim it as your land, as my land, I want you to get rid of all of this that has anything to do with pagan idolatry. Oh, listen, God was serious about the fact that he wanted all of this idolatry taken away. Now, I want you to get the picture in your mind. Rahab was a woman of iniquity, living in a land of idolatry. And I want you to recognize that in this land in which we live, there is much idolatry today. Oh, yes, Americans have their pictures. Oh, yes, Americans have their idols, things that keep them away from God. We are not far from Rahab's day, for there are many Rahabs in Lancaster. There are many Rahabs in this land, and many men just the same, people of iniquity whose lives are involved in immorality and adultery, people whose lives are turning away from God. Yes, we live in a land of iniquity, in a day of idolatry. The Bible is not irrelevant. Thousands of year old information that doesn't help us today. The Bible speaks to the very moment in which we live. Rahab lived in a very wicked situation. And there are many idols today that keep people from coming to the Lord. There are idols that keep some Christians from really living for the Lord. You see, today's idols are more in the self than they are on the shelf. Many people have idols in their hearts today, idols of selfishness. I would become a Christian, but I don't want to go to church that much. And I would become a Christian, but then I couldn't drink with my buddies and do the parties that I like to do. And because of self, they are not saved. Some have the idol of sports. They think you're ridiculous to go to church on Sunday. They think you're ridiculous to put money in the offering plate. But they'll go to a Dodgers game or a Lakers game and spend $1,000 or to Las Vegas and lose $1,000, and they think nothing of it. Why? Different idols. Some have the idol of education. They think nothing of missing church to get another degree. And some have the idol of sports and recreation. And some have the idol of a relationship. Why, if their boyfriend doesn't want church, then they'll give up their own soul to follow after that reprobate. Because they idolize their boyfriend or they idolize their girlfriend. Are you with me this morning? We live in a land of iniquity, and we are surrounded by idolatry. And yet I remind you, in Exodus 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." My friend, God wants all of our attention, all of our worship. Well, we see the reputation of Rahab. It wasn't a good reputation. And yet reality is that all of us without God would have no good of a reputation either. But I want you to see, secondly, the redemption of Rahab. I want you to see that despite her surroundings and despite her occupation, that God looked down from heaven and said, "I love this woman, and I'm going to give her a chance at salvation." And I want you to listen to me this morning. It doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. I've counseled with some who've had a difficulty in the past and terrible sin and drugs and abortion and all different types of wickedness. And I thank God for the saving grace of Jesus Christ to save to the uttermost anyone who will turn to Him in faith. What a wonderful grace we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the redemption of Rahab. Notice, first of all, her realization. Her realization, verse 9. "And she said unto the men," these are the spies sent by Joshua, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Now, God had been revealing his power to Rahab. She says, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." The word "know" means to acknowledge or to recognize. Now, I want you to understand something this morning, folks. God is constantly revealing himself to this lost and dying world. You see, in this moment of history, God, through the drying up of the sea, God through conquering the Egyptians, God through all of these miraculous acts was testifying to a pagan world that he was God and that he was in control. And a woman named Rahab was a woman of faith to see that this was not happening because of the gods of the Canaanites, but it was happening because there is a true and living God in the world. God testifies in all ways, in many ways, and in all lands. He testifies by the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon and by the ocean and by the solar system that he is mighty and he is powerful. And he testifies through his revealed word. And he testifies today in so many ways that a person who would could see and understand that there is a God in heaven who loves them. She realized that it was the God of the Israelites that had done these great things. And she calls him here by the name Lord. That particular name is always associated with deliverance and salvation. She said, I know it is the Lord that has done this. She realized that it was Israel's God that had given the land, and she acknowledged this. She had come to this understanding. She says, I know that your Lord hath given you the land. Now I want you to mark this down, that no one will ever be saved until they know that they are a person of iniquity and until they know that God has power to save. And she had to come to that knowledge. That's why soul winners need to be thorough in their presentation of the gospel. That's why Sunday school teachers need to give line upon line from the Word of God so that all men everywhere can understand we are all in iniquity and only God has the power to save. And she was coming to that. She began to realize, I know, she says, that the Lord hath given you the land. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. God says, I want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. You need to understand in order to be saved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. And this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Paul said, look, some of the Gentiles are blind and ignorant, but you have had your eyes open. You understand who God is and who Jesus is. And my friend, if you know that today, and if you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a perfectly sinless life and died on the cross for your sin, you are a blessed person if you know that today. And you're even more blessed if you've received Him as your Savior. You see, you have to get honest about the fact that you are in iniquity and about the fact that only God can save you, or life is good. You're going nowhere in life and nowhere in eternal life till you get those basic facts. And even a harlot named Rahab could understand that. She could understand that she needed God's help. And God has a way of getting our attention, doesn't He? The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4 concerning the conversion of Saul, as he rode down the road to Damascus and the light shone from heaven, it says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? What's the next word he says? Oh yeah. Who art thou, Lord? He was coming to the knowledge of who he was, a persecutor of the church, a sinner, and who God was. And until we get to that base number one, we will never be saved. We must understand that we are sinners in iniquity, living in a land of idolatry, and that only God can save us from our sin. Very basic. Her realization, she had to realize who God is. Do you realize who God is? Do you realize He's the creator of this world? Do you realize He's a holy God? And yet at the same time, He's a loving God. In His holiness, He could damn every one of us to hell. And in His love, He sent His only begotten Son. He is a holy God. He is a loving God. And she had to realize who God was. But notice, not only her realization, I want you to notice, secondly, her repentance. Her repentance. Notice, if you would, in verse 11. And as soon, she's giving her testimony, as soon as we heard these things concerning the Red Sea and the works of God, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now when the people in Jericho heard about Israel, when they heard the Red Sea had parted, when they heard the mighty hand of God was upon them, she says, our hearts did melt. But the significance of the story, ladies and gentlemen, is that while everyone saw the miracles of God, in all of this mighty city, they all saw what God was doing. They saw the hundreds of thousands of people ready to come into the promised land. There was only one who believed, and her name was Rahab. May I challenge you this morning, don't be like the majority of people who turn their back on God. Rahab alone repented. Rahab alone came to the place where she turned to God. D.L. Moody said, if God's today be too soon for thy repentance, thy tomorrow may be too late for God's acceptance. In other words, my friend, don't put this matter of salvation off to another day. Let God have his way in your life today. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. In other words, she was saved because she came to the knowledge of the truth and she put her faith in the word of God. And Rahab, having seen her condition, put her faith in God and she was saved because of her faith in Almighty God. That's the way it's supposed to happen. In the New Testament at a church called the church at Thessalonica, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, for they themselves show of us what mannering of entering in we had unto you, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. When a person is saved, they are turning to God in faith, and they are simultaneously turning from their idols. Do you understand, for Rahab to turn towards Joshua's God, at the same time she was turning away from the pictures and from the idols and from the way of Canaan. And I want to tell you something, there's a lot of Christians who want a little bit of God and a little bit of the world's idols, but the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away and all things become new. Listen, we need some sold out, dedicated Christians who'll throw their old idols away and get rid of their Ouija boards and their eight ball and their rap music and all the rest of the pornography and say, I'm saved now. I'm turning my back on that. I'm going to follow the Lord. Say, well, I don't feel very comfortable in this church. My friend, we don't come to church to get comfortable. We come to church to get with God and to get right with God. Rahab wasn't saying, would you ask Joshua if I could bring my idols with me over there to the children of Israel? Oh, no. Rahab was coming clean with God. She was putting faith in God. I heard the story of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior. She went to a church and she said, I'd like to be a member of this church. They had a rather involved format for becoming a member, and it involved sitting down with some of the deacons and answering questions. One of the deacons said, were you a sinner before you received the Lord as your Savior? The young woman said, well, yes, sir, I was. He said, well, are you still a sinner? She said, to tell you the truth, I feel like I'm a greater sinner now than I ever was. Then what real change have you experienced? And that's a fair question if it's asked in the right spirit. And this is what the woman said. I don't quite know how to explain it, she said, except I used to be a sinner running after sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm running from sin. Are you running after it or from it? Don't sit in this church and act like we got our Sunday best on. Everything's fine. My friend, I said it a moment ago, God sees the heart this morning. And I'm simply saying, if you are truly saved, there is a change in your life and you're running from sin, not to it, as fast as you can. He changes our reputation. I'm thankful today that though Rahab had a terrible reputation, God said, I can redeem even you. We see her reputation. We see her redemption. I want you to see finally this morning the resolve of Rahab. The resolve. Rahab, after she had put her faith in the Lord, had a resolve to serve the Lord. The Bible says in James 2:17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Would you find that in your notes there and read it with me, please? Ready to begin. Even so, faith, if it hath not, is... See, if someone says they have faith, but they're not living for the Lord, they may say they have it, but it may not be real. In one place in the Bible, it says, even the devils believe and tremble. It's not enough to believe in God. We must be transformed by the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that Rahab had a working faith. She did not work to get saved, but once she was saved, she worked for the Lord Jesus Christ. She worked for God, if you will. Notice, if you would, first of all, her resolve to spare the spies. To spare the spies, verse 12 of our text this morning. Now, therefore, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Notice here Rahab is sparing the spies. The Bible says in James 2:25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? In other words, listen, how do we know Rahab really was a believer because of what she did? If you understand that, say amen. Amen. James 2:25, Rahab was justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. We know that Rahab was a real believer because of her works. May I ask you the question, Christian friend, how does anyone in this world know that you are a believer? It is not by works that we are saved, but it is by our works that our faith is demonstrated. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, faith shows itself in the whole personality. True saving faith involves the whole personality. The mind, by the mind it is instructed. The emotions are stirred, and the will then acts in obedience. You see, Rahab understood in her mind, and she was stirred in her heart, and then she said, I've got to do something to serve my God. I'll help these men. What are you doing to serve your God? Have you witnessed lately or given a gospel tract? They're in the lobby of the church every Sunday morning. Do you tithe this morning? Do you serve somehow? Is there a neighbor you help? What are you doing today in the name of Almighty God? You see, when our life is changed, we want to serve Him. It's not enough to warm the pew. We want to understand more about Him and more how to serve Him. Oh, I cannot help but think of this past Thursday night. If you were not able to be there, you should get the CD or the DVD of the great services, the anointed services of this past week. We had a missionary by the name of Margaret Stringer, a single woman saved in the state of South Carolina. She was not married. She was a single woman. She came to the place. She said, no one's going to marry me, but I'm going to go ahead and give my life to be a missionary. To the headhunters of Papua New Guinea, she went. For 40 years, she gave her life there. You can see it on the video. She was here Thursday night. For 5 years, she went into a little cannibalism type of a tribe and risked her life giving trinkets and showing pictures of Jesus in heaven and trying to explain God. For 5 years before she had even one convert, she labored and labored and labored. I'm telling you something, that was her salvation working its way out. You see, when you receive Christ, oh, thank God He comes in. But when you serve Christ, that's your salvation working its way out. This is what Rahab did. She served the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing in Rahab's testimony. She spared the spies, and then she saved her family. And this is the best part. You've got to see this. Notice in verse 17 now. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless in this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Now here we see Rahab is going to not only spare the spies, but she's going to save her family. Let me tell you something. If you are saved and you have relatives that are not saved, that ought to burden you. You ought to want them to come to Christ. So I don't know what to say. You better learn what to say. It's life and death. It's eternal life. It's heaven and hell, my friend. It's important. Rahab wanted to save her family. She heard the word of the spies. She acted in faith. Now, because of her faith, notice what happens there in Joshua 6:22. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Verse 25. And notice this. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Do you understand what happened? There's a 30-foot wall. Joshua's men are ready to take the city. They're going to kill the inhabitants. They're going to destroy the idols. And God's judgment is going to fall, except on one woman who believed. And listen to me. There is coming a day, my friend, when Jesus Christ will call his church away from this planet earth. And then there will be 7 years of great judgment fall upon this earth. And only those who have put their faith in Christ will be spared. God says, Rahab, here's how it's going to work for you. 30-foot wall. He says, I want you to put out a scarlet cord. And he says, I want to see that cord. And he says, when we see the cord, we're going to come in and we're going to rescue you. And you will be saved because you show us that scarlet cord. It reminds me of what God did a few years prior in Egypt land, when the plagues were coming and when the death angel came through Egypt. And the Bible says in Exodus 12:13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Some of you might remember the story. It's called the Passover. And God said, now listen, I want you to know that when the death angel comes through the camp, all of those who sacrificed the blood of an innocent lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, when I see that blood on the doorpost, I'm going to pass you over, and I'm not going to bring death to your family, but by mercy, I'm going to spare your family. Oh, do you get the picture, my friend? That picture of the little lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ. For when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the entire world. Do you understand? There's a scarlet thread flowing throughout the Word of God. You can see it when you study the Word of God. And even as God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you to the Jews. And even as God said to a Rahab, harlot, Gentile, when I see the scarlet cord, I'm going to pass over you. I'm going to forgive you. God says to you and to me today, living in the United States of America, and almost all things are purged by the law, are purged with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin, in whom we have this redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Oh, hear me today. God said, look, when I see the blood on the post, I'll pass over you. When I see the scarlet cord out the window, I'll pass over you. And God says, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood of Jesus Christ, which still speaks, is applied to your account, and your sins are forgiven, and you will not be judged and sent to hell, but I'll pass over you. I'll forgive your sin and send you to heaven for all of eternity. Oh, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, do you understand today? You can get baptized in that baptistry until your hands shrivel up like prunes, but that will not wash your sins away. You can give $1 million to this church, and we'll cash the check, but that will not wash your sins away. What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank God for that fountain. Are you saved? Oh, Rahab was saved by faith in the Lord, and we knew she was saved by her works. Are you saved? If you are, can anyone tell that you're saved? Oh, we see today, God says, I can touch the life of a woman in iniquity, in a land of idolatry, and I can lift her up, and I can give her forgiveness, and I can set her feet on a rock, and I can clean her up and change her life, and I can use her for my glory. And God wants to do that today, perhaps for someone in this room today. Now, a few days later, Jericho would be completely destroyed, but Rahab was saved. Rahab's name was placed in Hebrews 11, what is oftentimes called the Hall of Faith. And when you read the lineage or the genealogy of Matthew chapter 1, you'll take time sometime, you'll read where it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And it's very simply seen in the scriptures that in the house and lineage of David, from which the Lord Jesus Christ, from which Mary would come, when you read that lineage, you're going to find the name of a little Gentile woman who was a harlot, whose name was Rahab, who married a Jewish man, and who was faithful to God all the days of her life. And God said, I can take a no good for nothing tramp and I can cleanse it, and I can put her sin as far as the east is from the west, and I can put her name in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and I can put her name in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, God loves you, and God will clean you up, and he'll use you for his glory today. May it be so in someone's life this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for what you did for Rahab. Thank you that you saved her. Oh, Lord, thank you for saving our souls. God, we just pray this morning that you would help everyone here to understand that Rahab was saved by faith in the Lord. Father, we pray for those in this room that are not saved, living in their iniquity in this land of idolatry. May they repent. May their hearts burn within them. May they believe on Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed.